All content discussed on Hypochondriac are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.
I'm Dr. Priyanka Wally, medical doctor and stand-up comedian.
And I'm Sean Hayes, actor and hypochondriac. It's safe to say that I'm not America's first hypochondriac, but I am America's first hypochondriactor. Good afternoon.
Well, hello there.
I love how we always do like a formal hello.
I know. Good day to you.
So we usually do these in the morning, but now it's in the afternoon. Do you get a little sleepy? Do you have a nap time?
I love that. And wait a minute. You're back in LA. The last time I talked to you, yeah. You were in New York.
I was? No, we
didn't.
Hey, crazy. No, we recorded
Is that wrong?
Okay. We've recorded like two already here.
Oh, my God. What year is it? What planet am I
on? Remember last time we recorded, you just got back from Egypt.
Oh, yeah. You were in L.A. at that time? Oh, my God.
Same background, by the way. Same background.
Oh, man. It shows how present and how in the moment I am. I remember nothing.
I love it.
I learned that from you, though, because you remember nothing about the stuff you've acted in, which I actually, that is so, I don't know, there's something about that I find really admirable, that you're just so present, do the scene, then you forget about it, and you move on with your life to the point where you remember no part of it.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Yeah, I also think it's crazy, I think maybe I brought this up before, I also think it's crazy that the capacity of the brain to remember so many things without you knowing it. So like, did we talk about this? Where you can watch a TV show or movie that you haven't seen in 30 years.
Yes.
And you watch a scene, you go, oh, I totally remember this scene. Or I remember what they said in it. Like, isn't that bizarre?
Well, let me ask you one thing. Is there a role or a scene that you personally have played that you will never forget? Like, even today, you can go back to that time or
that's
that role.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I don't know. I mean, that's such a good question.
If there's nothing, then that's just a testament to how present you are.
I mean, I remember one line I said in The Cat in the Hat with Mike Myers. I said, you're fired. That's it. That's all I remember.
That's what you remember, huh? That's so funny. Yeah. It's so specific.
That is. Oh, man. Well, it's kind of the thing. Like, people come up and say lots of things on the street, whatever, they'll say, like, they'll reference Jack from Will and Grace, or I get that a lot. I get the Mr. Humberflube from Cat in the Hat. You're fired! Because I yell it, scream it in the movie.
What's funny is that people probably know the lines and the storylines better than you ever will.
100%.
Right? Yeah.
Or people are like, do you remember that episode? And I was like, kinda, I was there. So yeah. I remember a little bit of it, but I don't remember it. You're right. I don't remember it like they do.
Yeah.
Because you're on to the next episode, like learning the lines and whatever that is, if you're doing a TV show.
It's a job. It's really a job. It's a cool job, though.
I do remember Jack Nicholson saying to me in The Bucket List, Tommy, nobody cares what you think.
Oh.
Which was completely improvised by Jack Nicholson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. He was a funny guy.
You.
Is a funny guy. I mean, he's still with us. So, well, I'm just clarifying. So, wait, I want to know, did you have any celebrity posters on your walls when you were a childhood?
Backstreet Boys.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
God,
Backstreet
you're so
Boys.
Young. Covered, like everybody, everywhere?
You know, back in the day, binders had those little inserts where you could put stuff on the cover. I had like a little Backstreet Boys.
Trapper Keepers.
Yeah, I had Backstreet Boys and it was like a real fangirl.
What about NSYNC?
Actually, no, I was anti NSYNC. I was pro Backstreet Boys. And I remember there were these other girls that were like pro NSYNC and we would get in these big debates. It was so stupid.
That's so funny.
It was so stupid.
Well, they were both so huge. Those bands were so huge.
They were huge. I know. Isn't it amazing? I wonder what those guys are up to now. We should
interview
some of them.
They're here.
They're
come on in, you guys.
They're in your bathroom.
Yeah.
What about you? Whose poster did you have?
Whose poster did I have? I had, in college I had, this is full circle, I had Kate Bush. I did. Do you know why that's funny?
No, why?
Because you probably don't watch Stranger Things.
No, I don't. I don't watch.
Okay,
Stranger
Things. Just so you know, and the listeners who know, any listeners listening now is like, oh my God, you had Kate Bush, because in this latest installment, the last season of Stranger Things, which the whole world just finished watching,
except for me.
They had this song by Kate Bush, "You're Running Up That Road, You're Running Up That Hill." Anyway, and she has now made like a full comeback. Like that song is played everywhere now. And it was really popular when I was in college. And I just dated myself, but that's okay.
Well, it's okay. But you know who hasn't outdated themselves?
What?
Our guest, our freaking amazing
that
guest
was good.
Today.
Billy Crudup.
Billy Crudup. Oh my gosh.
Can you believe he's
I
here?
I love him.
I love him too. I live for him.
He's been in so many things. I loved him in the morning show. Holy crap.
Morning show. Like, he killed every scene he was in. I can't wait to talk to him about
it. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about a few of his ailments.
Yeah. Yeah. He has, you know, a thing or two going on. So
broken toe and stuff like that, and grinds his teeth like I do. I can't wait.
I know. But before we get to that, we have a live caller.
Yes. Our caller today has a wild story about a bad car crash she was in. Her story's super, super interesting, especially her recovery. Let's talk to Emma right now. Is this Emma?
Hi.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness. It is Emma.
Emma looks like she works like for planes, flying planes in.
It's very Star Trek eleganza. Thank you.
Oh, I love it. Welcome to the show, Emma.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Wait a minute, Emma. That's so cool. I want listeners to Emma has these really kind of high-tech headphones on with the microphone attached to the headphones.
And they're purple.
And they're super cool.
Pastel purple, which is amazing. I love this.
Hi, Emma. Thank you for being here today.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Only if you're comfortable saying, you don't have to. Where are you at right now? What part of the country?
I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh fantastic. Nice. I love Oklahoma. Now, Emma, thank you so much for being here and wanting to share your story with us. It's really, really cool that you're here. So tell us about what happened to you when you were 18.
Yeah.
You were in a bad car crash. Walk us through and tell us what happened to you, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, like you said, I was 18 at the time. So that's 24 years ago. If you do the math, I'm 42 now. But I had graduated high school and was 2 weeks away from moving to college with my best friend. So my best friend and I were about 2 weeks away from moving away to college. I was visiting my grandparents with a guy I was dating, and we were leaving my grandparents' house. And about 10 or 15 minutes later, it was a backcountry road. We went off the road and ended up in a drainage ditch. Oh I God. Shattered the dashboard with the left side of my head right at the temple and broke my back, an L1 burst fracture. The interesting thing is I don't remember anything. I remember getting in the car. And like I said, I was at my grandparents' house, and which was a farmhouse, and every Oklahoma farmhouse has a long and winding driveway. Uh-huh, and I remember getting in the car and going a little bit down the driveway, and the wreck happened about 10 or 15 minutes later. Everything I know, literally everything I know, is what's been told to me by my mom. I was a passenger. And the driver is my now ex-husband, but it's okay.
That's a different podcast. Yeah,
it is.
So just to be clear, there was no other car colliding as far as you can tell.
So the driver just lost control. I see.
Correct. It was.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, there was a turn in the road and it had been raining. And so I guess the road was kind of slippery and we went off the road, and I was in my seatbelt, but the way the car turned, I kind of came out of my seatbelt and broke my back.
Oh, wow.
God. All right. So tell us
There's so much to unpack here. Yeah.
You impacted the windshield with your head and you had a brain injury of some kind?
The dashboard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. The dashboard.
Yeah. With my left temple, and I had a traumatic brain injury. And I went from the scene of the wreck by ambulance to a little hospital close by, and they knew they couldn't treat me. They thought I was going to have a stroke and die. And so they didn't really do anything. And so I'm not sure what happened, but I've gotten a couple of different versions of what happened next, but everything kind of balanced out. All my vitals and everything went, you know, calmed down. And so they life flighted me to a big hospital in Tulsa, and they did surgery and put rods in my back. It was it was a burst fracture on L1.
Uh-huh.
So
is that upper or lower back?
Lower. Lumbar. Lower. L for lumbar. So lower back.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they put rods in at T12 and L2. Mm-hmm. So above and below. And then they did a bone graft from my hip to replace the bone that had like burst out in of your, my
in
spine.
Your spine. In your spine. Mm-hmm. So they took it from your from where hip. To your spine?
From my hip in the back.
From the hip to the
I'm pointing, but you can't see
it. Your spine. Yeah. So a couple of things, Emma. First of all, thank you for sharing this story. You know, it's obviously you went through something really traumatic and it changed your life. How does it feel experientially to learn about this story while not having any memory of it?
Yeah.
What is that like for you?
It's weird. And I ask people, I ask my mom and I ask my best friend, the one I was going to move to college with. She's still my best friend, has been since first grade. We're lifelong together.
That's precious. Wow.
That's great.
But
I love
and
that.
She came to see me every single day. Wow. So I ask her a lot of questions. I ask the driver that I was with, I ask him a lot of questions. I ask my mom a lot of questions. They don't like talking about it because I was supposed to die. But but it's very interesting. It's very interesting to me. I just kind of soak it all in and I ask questions. And it seems like every time somebody talks about it, I get a little, it's been, you know, 24 years, but sometimes I still get a little piece of the puzzle that I hadn't heard before. So I think it's interesting to me.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You know, I have the same thing with my husband, Scotty. Like, I have no fashion sense, and I don't remember what clothes go together. And he kind of just goes, no, that's what, and I don't remember any, like, wearing anything or how to put anything together. Anyway, Priyanka.
Emma, do you ever get flashbacks or any wisps of any memories occasionally, even just like anything?
Not really. I do remember, like I said, I remember getting in the car and going a little bit down the driveway. Mm-hmm. And apparently I did lose consciousness for maybe a minute. And then when I came to, I was kind of talking nonsense.
Yeah.
And then since so much of it has been told to me, I don't know how much of it is actual memory or how much I have built a memory, you know?
I want to know what the long-term effect of the brain injury was and what was the result of that?
Well, so I had the original surgery immediately and then I had another surgery a year later. They took the rods out. And that's kind of another interesting part. I don't know if it's because I was just 18 and resilient, but my family was originally told I would be a week in the ICU, a month in the hospital, and then 6 months in inpatient rehab.
God.
And I was home from start to finish in about 2 weeks.
What? So, wow.
No way. What, just walking around?
Well, I had a full torso hard shell back brace that I had to wear anytime I was up.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then a year later, they took the rods out and then it was, you know, going on with your life. But I was in inpatient rehab for a while. I do remember that. I do remember some images from the hospital. But just I kind of remember where the layout of the room and I kind of remember people coming and going and talking to me.
Tell me about these nose zones. What is that?
Oh, well, and I apologize. I didn't answer your question about the long-term with the, the traumatic brain injury.
Yeah.
You can kind of tell sometimes I still, have trouble finding words that I'm looking for.
Welcome into my life.
Oh,
right.
You're doing great. Yeah.
Yeah. I would never know that.
There's no word finding difficulty here whatsoever. Yeah. So
it's kind of like my brain is telling my mouth to say a word and I know the word, but it's, but my mouth is just kind of like, eh, maybe later.
Oh, wow. Really? So, that's fascinating.
Yeah. Mouth and, of its own, literally.
Right. And sequencing. I'm very, very detail oriented. I love lists. So I always rely on that in trying to sequence things or sometimes, you know, if I'm in the shower and I'm like, did I already wash my face or have I washed it? So that kind of stuff I still struggle with. And I do get, some headaches on the left side of my head. But the nose zone I was talking about, the scar on my hip from the bone graft. I don't know if they sutured it as well as they could have. It's kind of a mangled mess. So I don't know if maybe I have nerve damage, but within about a 1-inch radius, if anything or anybody touches me there, it's like an electric shock goes through that part. It's just like, don't touch me.
Really? It's like an electric shock goes through there.
Yeah.
Wow. That's fascinating.
So that seems like, there was some kind of sort of trauma or nerve issue happening yeah. after that. That's really interesting.
When I was in college, I was like the complete opposite. I was like, please, anybody touch me.
Touch me anywhere.
Touch me anywhere.
And then on my head, where I had the traumatic brain injury, it's a little different. I can always feel that uh-huh. part of my, it feels like there's somebody just touching me there mm-hmm. all the time.
All the mm-hmm. time.
It's really all the sensitive. Time. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is very tender and, mm-hmm. and that's more of a kind of like if, and I don't know if everyone feels this way, but if you put your finger in your belly button and it feels like yeah. someone's touching you on the inside.
It's totally oh, a yeah. weird feeling. Yeah, I get that. I totally know what you're talking about.
That's the sensation you have on your head?
If somebody puts pressure there.
Oh,
yes,
wow. So it's only, super sensitive.
Only yeah. if somebody puts pressure there. Like if just sitting like this, it feels like there's somebody just holding a finger to my skin.
You know, it's so interesting that you're talking about what it feels like with the belly button. The belly button, you know, that is a site of major trauma because that's where we actually literally got our life force cut from our yeah. mothers that were giving
yeah.
us life.
Yeah.
And so it would make sense that for the rest of our lives, it would always be sensitive. Flash forward to you at the age of 18, your body went through so much trauma. I mean, it was yeah. literally smashed. And it's amazing that after going through something like that, you literally have just these two spots that are super sensitive as a result mm-hmm. of the physical
yeah,
trauma.
It's really kind of fascinating. Yeah. Emma, listen to me. We are so lucky that you made it out alive.
Yes.
We're so lucky that you're here with us today. So thank God. Thank everybody for your recovery.
Oh, thank
yes.
you.
Yes. And thank you for coming on the show to talk about this.
Well, yeah. thank you so much for inviting me. Please let me say very quickly, Sean, I've seen every episode of Will and Grace. I've listened to every episode of Smartless. And this it's because you bring so much happiness and joy
You're
to
so
people.
Sweet.
And
you,
Dr. Guys. Priyanka, it I think really it's does. So important that you encourage people to advocate for their bodies and their health.
Yes.
And it's so important for healthcare professionals to treat a person and a body rather than just a symptom. So you guys are doing
Thank you, good things, darling.
To people.
By the way,
so, much.
So well said. Would have never known you have trouble finding words.
Well,
Seriously.
I have notes.
Well, great. Okay,
Emma, thank you, my dear. Thank you so much for
being
here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
We love hearing your stories. The number to leave us a message is 1-323-529-6031. We want to talk to you. Keep sharing your stories with us. We are supported by Green Chef. Green Chef is a CCOF certified meal kit company. Green Chef makes eating well easy with plans to fit every lifestyle, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, or just looking to eat more balanced meals. Green Chef offers a range of recipes to suit your preferences.
I love it. My favorite one is the pecan crusted salmon with creamy kale and roasted carrots. It's so good because it's healthy. The salmon's good. It's delicious. I love it.
Absolutely.
They offer more customization than ever before with new organic and wild-caught protein options. Swap the protein in any meal that features chicken, beef, or salmon to suit your taste, and they'll deliver their recipes tailored to you directly to your front door. Green Chef is the only meal kit that is both carbon and plastic offset. They offset 100% of their carbon footprint as well as 100% of the plastic in every box.
Elevate your dinner experience with their Fall's Finest collection, a curated selection of farmstead favorites, fresh seasonal ingredients, and premium proteins.
Go to greenchef.com/hypo135 and use code hypo135 to get $135 off across 5 boxes, and your first box ships free. That's greenchef.com/hypo135 and use code hypo135. Green Chef, the number one meal kit for eating well. Oh, there he is. Our guest today has been in a million things, one of which was almost famous, but he's definitely fully famous. You may know him for his roles in Watchmen, Spotlight, or Alien Covenant, which is like, if I had 2 hours, I would talk. I'm such a huge fan. The Morning Show, huge fan. I love this man. The latter of which, by the way, he was nominated for a 2022 Primetime Emmy Award for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama Series. It's the incredibly talented, incredibly handsome Billy Crudup. Mm.
Hey, Sean, that was an introduction. I want to go out and come back in and hear that again.
Do it. Do it. I dare you.
Fantastic.
Billy, darling, welcome to the show.
Dr.
Very
Priyanka
nice to
Wally.
Meet you.
Thank you, Priyanka. I appreciate that.
Now, lover of mine, we've met a few times, but we had a dinner last year at a mutual friend's house, and I felt like I immediately knew you forever from the first time. And I think it's kind of like that theater folk kind of thing, right?
I was going to say the same thing. When we saw each other, there is an immediate recognition that,
we've been my around. People. Yeah. This is my people.
When we got off the train on 42nd Street taking the A uptown, you see a couple of guys going to the theater. You're like,
Right. What if you were like, nah, I didn't feel it? You got a question?
Well, we were also in Los Angeles, and I confess every time I'm out there, I feel a particular kinship to the people that I recognize from the New York theater scene.
Yeah,
so.
I love that. And you grew up in New York, right?
I was born on Long Island. And then.
Which part?
In Port Washington.
Okay.
And then I moved to South Florida, and then Texas.
All of this is correct, by the way. Keep going.
And yes, it's right there in my bio. I've got it for you. And then back to Florida, and then I went to undergraduate at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, and then I moved up to New York to Manhattan to go to graduate school in 1991. So I've been here over 30 years now.
I love that. And here's the thing, like, you know, when I met you, I do feel like I've known you just because of that thing we just discussed. But I also, it's this weird thing that happens where when we met, I was like, oh, I'm a huge fan before I met you. And then I met you, I was like, oh my God, and he's totally normal and a theater guy. But he's this huge star that you've been in so many things. First of all,
I keep really telling people that, Sean. And, you know,
you are, though.
From your mouth to God's ears.
No, but it's crazy. You've been in so many movies that have meant so much to me. And by the way, I auditioned for Almost Famous. Still waiting to hear.
Get out. Actually, you're in luck because there's a musical coming out soon.
Oh, really?
Cameron turned it into a musical. It's
you're
coming
joking
to
me.
Broadway. Nope.
No way.
I swear. They were testing it at the Globe Theater, I think, in San Diego.
God, they're going to turn this water bottle into a musical. It's like everything. But wait, first of all, we're going to get to the good stuff, which is the medical stuff, which is why we're here, because I live for it. But I have to back up, because I'm jumping all over the place, because I'm fanning out. So Jesus' Son, I saw it in the theater when I was like 20, I don't know how old I was.
Do you see that in the background over there? That chair?
Yeah.
Here, wait, hold on, let me get that real quick.
Listener, he's not anywhere near us. He can't hear us, and we're just looking at his apartment. It's amazing.
Oh, there it is.
Come on,
it's a chair. Fuckhead.
It says the chair says fuckhead.
My my friend who wrote the screenplay for that, she Elizabeth Cathrell was her name. Is her name. It's still her name. She hasn't changed her name. But she was an enormous Dennis Johnson fan. Built a relationship with him, and then sent me that script, and I. And not very well read. She said, you should really read the book and read our script. And it really took no time for me to discover that the character's name was Fuckhead.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I'll definitely do this. And she said, we have no money. And I said, all I want is one of those chairs
that
says Fuckhead on it.
That's hysterical. That's when I was first like, that was one of those movies where it's those performances where you go, oh, this guy is the shit. This is one of those guys that inspires me to be better and do better work. And like, I want to be as good as Billy. Like, truly, I saw it's such a young actor.
What do you mean such a young actor? How much younger are you? Are you like 30 or something? This is incredible. How have you been overachieving?
I play 18 to 24 always. I always play. That's my window.
What's your range?
18 to 24.
18 to 24, right.
Yeah. You'll buy it. You'll buy it.
I do.
But listen, I'm a super duper gigantic lover of anything sci-fi, and so I don't know what your feelings are, but like when Alien Covenant and Prometheus and all the Alien movies, I freaked out when you were in that. I could ask you a million questions, but I just want to say, how cool is it that you are now immortalized on film forever as being impregnated by an alien face hugger?
I know.
I mean, that's seriously. It's so cool. Which is also how I met my husband.
I would like to say first, Ridley Scott has been implanted in my imagination, I would think, since I first saw any of his movies or a piece of his movies. I mean, Blade Runner, I think I probably saw on cable just when cable first started coming out. And it was mysterious to me, you know, it was probably a little bit beyond me. And since then, to be able to watch the kind of stuff that he's produced over the years, be a part of that at all.
Amazing.
That's so cool.
Died in it, but will there be a third one?
I don't care because I died, Sean. As soon as I died, I said, don't tell me if this works or doesn't work.
What if they send you a script anyway?
I think in this, well, I'd take a look. Okay. I think in the sort of legend of Alien, I might be the first chest burster.
Really? Oh, cool. What do you mean?
Wow.
So, I mean, in the Alien movie that we grew up with, there's a famous scene, right, where it bursts out of a chest. Alien Covenant takes place before that.
Oh, nice. Very good in the timeline.
And the aliens hadn't quite evolved enough to implant themselves.
You're such a fuckhead.
Listen, I may be wrong. Sam Rockwell will know, because Sam Rockwell is a huge Alien fan. He's a good friend of mine, and he has all of the history down. So I'll ask him. I'll check with him.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. I'm also a huge fan. Okay, so, and then Morning Show. I've seen every single episode.
Oh, I loved you in the Morning Show.
It's the part was created for you. It was like, so you good. Just like, you open your mouth and blah, all the lines
scene,
come out.
Yeah,
like,
just killing brilliant. It. Every scene, that script. I even wrote down some of the lines that you said, and I'm going to put it in one of my lectures about the importance of emotions and health. There's this one line where you talk about how, like, emotions don't matter. That's totally irrelevant. And I was like, damn, that is such
Then they
a good
started
line.
Rolling the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said that right before they shot it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's amazing.
That was one of the great scenes that I read last season. Carrie Aaron wrote that was the Stella Bach. And it was him trying to suppress the rejection that he felt from being torn asunder by Bradley Jackson. Romantically.
Yeah.
But even, you know, previous to that, he had used emotions in a different way, which is when he went to go tell Fred Micklin that he was going to take his job, that he should look. He didn't say, "I'm going to come take your job." He said, "Are you happy? Because you don't look happy. You look like you're sad."
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If I had everything you had, you'd be happy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
That, it's a, he has a way of understanding it sort of from the outside without processing it internally himself, which is fascinating.
What a character, my God. I know. That is some Scorpio energy right there.
Some of those scripts, and I would call Carrie and I would say, "Is this actually what you meant?" She goes, "Oh, yeah." And there's a couple layers beneath that.
Wow.
Start explaining it to me. It was absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah,
that is so
cool.
And how, you, by the way, actor to actor, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but so many people say it to me too. How do you memorize all those lines? But truly, that dialogue is,
I know that
your
dialogue.
Monologues are like crazy long.
Yeah. Well, that's where the working out and, you know, going to school, doing theater comes in really handy, because it's just grinding it out.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm like, you have to give me, if you're going to give me one of those things, I need 2 weeks. Because I have to do text analysis with it first. I have to understand why somebody is allowed to speak for that long.
Yes.
And then I have to get my mouth to move as fast as that guy. And that's just a technical thing, as you know. Like, literally doing exercises to try to get your mouth moving as fast as possible.
And then hopefully by the time you get to the set, it's muscle memory and you just...
That's it.
Right.
And I can do some of those monologues really quickly, but I can't speak quickly myself.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah, you really have to embody that energy. Yeah, it's so interesting.
It's a sweaty experience.
Four-time Tony nominee. I just had to say that for theater. Okay,
thank you for our theater fans out there.
It's amazing.
Oh, I love
it. I just love you. I think you're great. All right, so let's get to this. So broken.
Yeah, let's talk medicine. Yeah,
I was hoping it would come with something a little more traumatic, but let's talk about your broken toe, Billy.
We haven't even heard the story yet, Sean. Let's give him a chance.
Well, I thought of something more traumatic.
No, your story is valid as it is.
It's valid.
Okay. Thank you for validating me, doctor. Okay. Well, Sean.
Yes. Let's hear the story.
That's called the carrot and the stick for the people who are listening at home. I got the carrot and that was the stick.
I just have to say, because the universe is always listening, I'm glad you don't have anything more traumatic.
I appreciate that.
Yes.
So this happened a number of years ago. I had just finished, I was doing Waiting for Godot and No Man's Land in repertory on Broadway. Very physical performance. Truthfully, Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart did the lion's share of the work, and Shuler Hensley and I, we just tried to support them as best we could. But at the end of it, I found myself feeling, you know, very fit, and because it was a workout, eight days a week, and you're doing that, eight shows a week, because there's only seven
feels like eight
days in a week.
Yeah.
But so we finished the run, and I was exhausted by it, and I was dead asleep. And woke up in the middle of the night needed to use the restroom. That happens to people sometimes. And I caught my foot on the bedspread and tripped into some stairs that lead. There's two stairs that lead up to my bathroom. And I hit the outside of my right foot on the stair, like right right at the corner. And I thought, oof, that smarted. I wonder what the heck that was. But I completed what I needed to and went back to bed. And I couldn't get back to sleep. And the pain was pretty extraordinary. And so I got up and sort of limped in, took some Tylenol, tried to go back to sleep, elevated a little bit. I've had some injuries before, bruises, you know, or bone bruises, deep bruises, where you just, you know, elevate it. And and the next morning I woke up and it was huge. And
this is your big toe or your little toe? Which toe are we talking about?
This is the outside of my right foot. So,
it's near
right
the
here.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I see. Okay.
So I knocked that into the stair like that.
Okay.
And I know it's a podcast, so I
don't
know.
All, we can all
can
imagine.
You can you imagine that?
Yes.
So,
yeah, you're actually talking about your outer, it's a metatarsal bone.
Metatarsal, that's the one. Yeah, it's like the pinky of your toes.
So the fifth digit, your tiny toe, is called a phalange, and right below that is a bone that's the metatarsal bone, and that's what you whacked in the
middle. It's about that long, the metatarsal bone, or
it's long,
it's long enough that if you smack it right in the middle, it might snap like a like when you're pulling the wing bone.
The wishbone.
Yeah, the wishbone, exactly. And I thought, man, the pain is not going away. In fact, it's a little bit worse. And so I called this friend of mine who's got a friend who's a doctor in the ER. I said, can you get Dr. Billy on the phone? Because I don't want to go into the hospital and trouble people with this if this is, you know, silly. And just because I'm a very sensitive person, guys, you know,
I got that.
That's what I wield for my profession. So so I thought this could just be a bruise. And Billy, don't overreact. So I talked to him, and he said, "Can you touch it?" And I said, "I went to touch it, and immediately, like my whole body's kind of seized up." And he goes, no, it could be a little bit of a fracture. Why don't you come in? We'll do some x-rays.
Wait, were you walking on it to get there? Did you walk
No, I was, you know what? I was doing a little bit of a side limp. So I was kind of using like my back heel. You know what I mean? And not putting any pressure on that area.
And, you know, just to be clear, after toe fractures, metatarsal fractures are the most common foot fracture.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, this is what he tells me. So I go, she's like, that's not true at all. I'm misleading
you. As
most American medicine does. So I go up to NYU and I go into Dr. Billy and I say, so what are we doing? He goes, well, let's just take an x-ray. Let me look at it first. And he goes, yeah, that looks swollen and discolored and it could be a problem. Takes an x-ray and I had snapped it.
Oh,
the bone
wow.
was snapped. It was like that.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. And he goes, so that's called a displaced fracture.
Yeah, that's not what he called it. He called it a piss fracture. He goes, you got up to pee in the middle of the night and you broke your foot. Yeah. It usually happens when you're about 80. You got about a 40-year head start. Good job, jerk.
Oh my goodness. He really called you a jerk, huh?
He did. Yes, we're close. But I can remember the feeling of trying to put my foot into my tennis shoe and I just remember a feeling of like a little crunching. You know, and I thought, those laces are too tight.
This is not the one like difference between gay men and straight men. I'm just going to say the difference between me and you. If that was me, I would be in tears. I would have driven. Like I got an ambulance. I would have gone to the ER immediately. And like the
I'm overreacting. I'm really overreacting.
Wow.
You're like tough man. You're probably like.
And you had a true fracture.
The part I wish. I mean, I have the x-ray of it, and the x-ray is great.
God.
I remember looking at it thinking, oh, wow, okay, so I'm glad it's not a compound fracture where it broke through the skin because it's clearly the bone is broken.
Yeah.
And because it was displaced. That was
It was displaced, meaning that the bone broke and then it was out of alignment.
It was out of alignment. And there was a couple of little pieces, you know, like in between.
Some fragments.
some fragments, and he said, so here's the interesting thing about this. There's nothing to do. This is not the kind of fracture that requires surgery. What'll end up happening, and you can describe this for us, doctor, is somehow the body will start building bone together, and in fact, you will end up with like another knuckle sort of in between. It's not like just a lot of bone.
Yeah, yeah, this is true.
I really wanted to picture you, you know, the dogs who sadly lose like a limb or two.
Oh, yeah, I had the boot.
You have to rock, you have to run around on the knee wheelchair that you wheel around in.
I would have killed for that because crutches are terrible.
Yeah.
Crutches are really hard.
Right on your
pit.
Sorry,
but
Priyanka,
this is such a good point, Bill. Like, you know, the metatarsal fractures, generally, they do well without any kind of correction, depending on how much displacement there is. So just to be clear, the doc didn't reduce it or try and move it. He sort of just said, you know what, it is where it is. We're just going to let the body do what it has to do. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way it goes. Yeah.
So my question to you is, how did the body do what it has to do? How did it build new bone around there?
Well, the body is actually very resilient. Our ability to heal ourselves, the body has these built-in mechanisms that we've evolved for thousands and thousands of years. You know, back when we were hunter-gatherers, we would break bones all the time. The body has evolved to learn how to innately heal things. So if it's a small fracture, then yeah, it's fine.
You still hunt for your food, right?
Almost always. Right. Sometimes I gather when I'm feeling sensitive.
Now, I'm sure you had a follow-up x-ray a couple weeks later just to make sure things were healing in the right direction, right?
I did, and they were. You could see like a little bit of gray.
So no cast or anything?
No cast, no. Wow. I had a boot for a little bit just to, just because it was sexy.
Yeah, sure. Who doesn't love a man
his
in one
boot? Boots were made for walking.
Just in a single boot hailing a cab in a flop sweat. Really?
The
hot
Billy Crudup just got a little sexier, folks. That's amazing.
And obviously, this didn't impact your ability to work or you didn't
have to. I finished the job mercifully.
Yeah, you'd finish. Wow. Because
in fact, that job, I spent most of the time during Waiting for Godot on the toes of one or the other feet. Because
the
show was finished.
Oh, the show.
I would not have been able to do it.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Well, when you went back to your apartment, I mean, you must have been so careful going to use the bathroom at night after that experience and making sure your bed sheets were all perfect so that you wouldn't trip on them, right?
Well, there's been some
adjustments.
Upgrades. I should say.
A little ramp. Maybe there's a little ramp in there.
Sean will testify, when you're doing a play, anything goes. You know, the carny life there, whatever makes you feel comfortable when you get in, because you get in, you know, you get back home at like 11 o'clock at night. You're still keyed up. It's really hard to get to sleep before 1 or 2.
Right.
You have to have a super cozy environment, you know, like all the a mask or the blackout curtains or something, because you're going to be asleep. You have such a rush of adrenaline while you're doing something in front of a live audience that it takes a while for your body to process the chemical dump. I don't know. You could tell me better than that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. It totally
I just does. Pictured you coming home from the doctor and saying to yourself in your apartment, you know what's going to make me feel better? If I watch one of my movies. And you just put your movies in. And you just have like a marathon. And you're like, it's healing really fast, you guys.
That's so funny.
No, that's what I do for my son for a timeout. I'm like, time to watch Big Fish on a loop.
Oh, okay? My God.
So sit down and enjoy. And here comes Where'd You Go, Bernadette.
That's okay. So funny.
By the way, Big Fish was a musical. Every movie you're going to be in
is
going to be a musical.
Yeah. So cool.
Billy Crudup, guess what? Do you have time for a little quick game?
Let's do a quick game.
Yes, let's do a game.
So it's called Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame. You're each going to get 3 questions. And if you don't know the answer, guess. I'll give you possible points for creativity. Sean, you're up first. Ready, Sean?
Yes.
Okay, the medical problem, myopia. If you have myopia, you're experiencing what health problem?
Myopia.
Myopia, yes.
Not uropia.
Yeah, myopia.
Guys, the jokes write themselves.
Okay, half point for creativity, for
so
sure.
So wait, isn't myopic nerve like the eye?
Okay, you're close. Myopic or myopia comes from the Greek word myopes, which is nearsighted or literally closing or squinting the eyes. So the answer is it's nearsightedness. So I'll give you like 3/4 to 1-ish point.
What are you talking about?
You were in the right range. You were in the right range, fine. For sure. Okay, that second question for impressive. Sean. Exit, comma, pursued by a bear, is a stage direction in what Shakespeare play?
Exit pursued by a bear. Oh, God. Billy's going to know this. I don't. There's no way I'm ever.
He doesn't.
Macbeth. I don't know.
What okay, is it? It is not Macbeth. The answer is The Winter's Tale.
Did you
Am
know
I
that?
Supposed to jump in or?
No, yeah, no, no. Say. Only if you okay. want. Did you? Were you going to guess that?
A Winter's Tale.
Oh, my God. He's okay. So fast.
Classically trained.
Okay. Third question for Sean.
Yes.
But feel free, Billy, to chime in if you want.
Okay.
You were an extra in the 1986 romantic comedy Lucas.
$40.
Jerk.
Where were most of the exterior shots filmed?
What are you talking about? It was in my hometown. It was at my high school, Glenbard
yes.
West in Glen Ellyn,
yes,
Illinois.
That is correct. That yes. is correct.
But that, okay, was Winona, so- that was Winona Ryder's first film.
Oh, that's
and
so cool.
I was in that high school that they filmed.
I love
and,
it.
And later on, I said, people were like, oh, my God, you were in that movie, Lucas. Yeah, I was an extra. What was it like being around Renault? I go, she stole every scene. Anybody get it?
There you go, folks. This is hypochondriac.
So you were a child actor, huh? Like Bateman.
Well, not nearly as successful.
Okay, Sean, you got like one, I'll say maybe 2 points, 1¾ points.
Okay,
Billy, are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, the medical condition called tinea pedis is an itchy condition better known by what common name? Tinea pedis, and I can spell it for you if you'd like.
Oh, I got a guess at that.
I'm going to say athlete's foot.
That is correct. That is correct. The answer is
yes,
outstanding is correct.
Also, I'm fluent in Latin.
I love it. I love it. Okay, second question. Vladimir and Estragon are the two main characters in which...
Waiting for Godot. I'm sorry.
That is correct.
Oh!
Yes.
Oh.
Didn't
oh.
even
you know,
finish
thank you
what?
For
question.
Setting that up for me.
Why does
I
it
mean,
get
come
all
on.
Easy.
That's already 2 points. Let's go for extra credit.
Okay. Third question to
you
win
already won.
The game.
$40.
Okay.
$40.
Okay. Here we go. In the opening scene of Big Fish, your character's father tells him a story about catching a catfish. What did your character's father use as bait?
I'm going to say a ring.
That's correct. His wedding ring.
Oh, hot damn.
Yeah.
Look at this.
That is
Look
three
at this
for
guy.
Three. You killed it. Congratulations, Billy.
I must say, the producer who put these questions on made them extra easy for this fella
Listen, I have nothing but artifacts, apparently, from my the films I've been... Because there's a painting that Tim Burton gave some of us that is a catfish with a ring dangling.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Oh, that's
nice.
So cool.
And it's in my son's bathroom, yeah.
William
well,
Crudup.
Congratulations. You are in Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
Billy, I love you. I don't care who knows
right back
it.
Right at you, pal.
I think you're amazing. I just, you're so great.
I do, too. It was so nice to meet you.
It was my pleasure. Thank you guys for having me on.
So next time I'm in New York, can we have a bite?
I'm here.
All right. Well, I'll give you a shout. I would love to just grab a bite. It'd be so
Me
fun.
Me too. That'd be
love
fantastic.
Love you, pal.
All right. Bye.
See
bye.
You.
That was so exciting, Sean.
Wasn't it? I love him.
Yes. That was really exciting to meet someone who's so talented and knows Latin things and is smart.
Oh,
and
thank
yeah,
you.
It was very cool. Very cool.
Thank you.
And I'm not even... Oh, that's funny.
So stupid.
Yeah, that was an amazing show.
Billy's the greatest. And thank you to Emma for what,
oh,
what a great
goodness,
story.
Thank yes.
God. She's okay. What a crazy car accident. And Billy, yes, of course. I love him.
Yes.
Guys, thank you for listening. As always, we'll see you next time. Don't worry. Be healthy. Bye.
Bye.
Hypochondriac Actor is a Hazy Mills production hosted by me, Sean Hayes, and Dr. Priyanka Wally. Rebecca Eisenberg and Todd Milliner are our executive producers. Production and editing is by Rabbit Grin Productions. Original music by Scott Eisenogel and Leo Rosner. This is a Hazy Mills production. All content discussed on Hypochondriac are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Please consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.